Welcome to EarthGauge News, your source for Canadian and international eco news, online at earthgauge.ca, where you can download the podcast. My name is Mark, and I'm coming to you from the studios of CKCU Radio in Ottawa. This is the week of May 27th, 2019, and on the show this week, the Trump administration hardens its attack on climate science. India is set to exceed its Paris target. More countries are putting up barriers as migrants flee climate chaos. Clean energy jobs are growing 60% faster than the national average. Sea levels could rise by up to 2 meters by 2100. Post Media has hired a former Jason Kenney staffer to lobby the Alberta government on involvement in its energy war room. Greta Thunberg becomes a target for the German far right. Canada tops the charts for poor vehicle fuel economy. And big oil is set to spend $5 trillion on fossil fuels that we can't afford to burn. All this coming up. Stay tuned. All right, leading off the program today, the New York Times is reporting that the Trump administration has rolled back environmental regulations, pulled the United States out of the Paris Climate Accord, brushed aside dire predictions about the effects of climate change, and turned the term global warming into a punchline. And now, after 2 years spent unraveling the policies of his predecessors, Trump and his political appointees are launching a new assault. The Trump administration is now seeking to undermine the very science on which climate change policy rests. Parts of the federal government in the U.S. will no longer fulfill what scientists say is one of the most urgent jobs of climate science studies, namely reporting on the future effects of a rapidly warming planet. The goal of political appointees in the Trump administration is now to question the conclusion, the scientific consensus on climate change by creating a new climate review panel on the validity of climate science, known as a red team, blue team debate. Opponents say they will challenge the move in court, and they intend to appoint to the government's own climate assessment, asking how the government can justify these reversals when its own agencies have concluded that carbon pollution will be so harmful. Clean Technica is reporting that India is set to exceed its Paris climate targets, installing 80 gigawatts of new renewables in the next 5 years. India is on track to boost non-fossil energy to 45% of its electricity generation by 2022, well beyond its Paris Agreement commitment of 40%. This according to a new study by Moody's credit rating agency. The report comes with India's renewable energy producers expecting the country to add about 80 gigawatts of new capacity over the next 5 years. The National Observer is reporting that more countries are putting up barriers as migrants flee climate chaos. With many governments still dragging their feet on climate action, many are actively preparing via militarized borders and regressive immigration policies for one of its most dire and tragic consequences, refugees who are fleeing climate-driven conflict, desertification, and sea level rise. In Montreal recently on a book tour, Tucson-based journalist Todd Miller describes seeing this dysfunctional and inhumane response firsthand as Latin Americans fleeing north from a region that climate scientists describe as ground zero for climate change come up against an increasingly militarized American border. The Observer reports that estimates from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the 2006 Stern Review, and other sources predict that climate change will generate from 200 million to as many as 1 billion migrants by 2050. Clean Energy Canada is reporting that clean energy jobs are growing 60% faster than the national average, according to a new study. Clean energy employs nearly 300,000 Canadians from coast to coast, and the sector's job count was growing 60% faster than the Canadian average in 2017, according to a new 10-province survey conducted by Navius Research. Clean Energy Canada said in a release, quote, "While political fights over oil pipelines dominate headlines, the clean energy sector is seldom discussed. In short, we're missing a big piece of Canada's energy picture," end quote. Study says that hydropower and wind farms accounted for nearly 40% of the sector's GDP in 2017. Public transit and electric vehicle manufacturing for 30%, and clean electricity infrastructure and storage 25%. report shows Ontario leading the country in clean energy activity in 2017 with almost 150,000 jobs. CBC News is reporting that sea levels could rise by up to 2 meters by 2100, according to a new study. This is a worst-case scenario involving melting ice caps and high CO2 emissions. The research released earlier this week points to a possible impact considerably higher than estimates made by the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change in 2014 that suggested a 1 meter rise in sea levels by the end of the century. Robert Kopp, a co-author of the study and a professor at Rutgers University, said, quote, sea level rise numbers are in flux and they've generally been trending upwards since the fifth IPCC report because we've been learning more about the potential modes of instability in the Antarctic ice sheets in particular, end quote. With rising sea levels comes the likely displacement of millions, even billions of people around the globe. If sea levels were to rise above the 2 meter mark, it would flood areas that are home to 240 million people, including places in China, Vietnam, Bangladesh, India, and Indonesia. Cities like Miami and New Orleans would be seriously affected. New York and the mid-Atlantic would see an increase in the frequency of flooding. The Narwhal is reporting that Post Media has hired a former Jason Kenney staffer to lobby the Alberta government on involvement in its energy war room. Documents filed with the Alberta Lobbyist Registry reveal that Canadian media behemoth Post Media, which owns the National Post, Edmonton Journal, Edmonton Sun, Calgary Herald, Calgary Sun, Vancouver Sun, The Province, Ottawa Citizen, and many others, is actively seeking to become involved in Premier Jason Kenney's energy war room. Kenney proposed the creation of a war room during Alberta's most recent election campaign. His UCP party said in its campaign platform that it will fight fake news and share the truth about Alberta's resource sector and energy issues. Kenney named several organizations, including prominent charities, environmental groups, and multinational companies, suggesting they may be targets of the war room. And now Post Media, it appears, is seeking to become part of this campaign. Sean Holman, a journalism professor at Mount Royal University, called the lobbyist registration disturbing. Quote, media organizations certainly shouldn't be in the business of working in support of this type of activity. It's an abrogation of everything that we as news media are supposed to stand for. End quote. Unearthed is reporting that 16-year-old school strike founder, Nobel Peace Prize nominee and climate activist Greta Thunberg has become the latest target for far-right operatives in Germany. Thunberg's rise to prominence has seen the Alternative for Deutschland party ramp up its focus on climate change, and their focus on Thunberg has been outright vicious, calling her to get treatment for her psychosis, and without a trace of irony, comparing her to Nazi youth. Many of them suggest that the climate movement is a cult, casting Thunberg as its leader. German Green Party spokesman said, quote, climate change is a major concern among German voters ahead of the European elections. A recent poll has shown that 3 out of 4 potential voters in Germany consider climate protection an important factor in their voting decision. CBC News is reporting that a Senate committee has recommended against proceeding with a BC tanker bill in Canada. Bill C-48 would ban oil tankers from docking along BC's north coast, but last Wednesday's tie vote by the Senate's Transportation and Communications Committee doesn't mean that the bill is necessarily done, as it will go back to the chamber for further debate. But a tie vote is the same as a vote against, as it needs a clear majority of support to proceed. C-48 would prohibit tankers carrying more than 12,500 tons of oil from docking along an area that stretches from the northern tip of Vancouver Island to the Alaska border, which would do away with projects like the now-defunct Northern Gateway or Indigenous-led Eagle Spirit pipelines. Environmentalists say it would help keep the coast and its diverse fishing industry safe from spills.
Do you know how much the oil and gas industry is forecast to spend on digging up new fossil fuels over the next decade? $4.9 trillion. Why is this a problem? Well, our analysis shows all of this new production is incompatible with the world's goal of limiting global warming to 1.5 degrees.
Global Witness is reporting that Big Oil is set to spend $5 trillion on fossil fuels that we can't afford to burn. The oil and gas industry is busy telling the world that we will need their fossil fuels for years to come, and that continuing to use oil and gas won't wreck our chances of curbing climate change. However, the analysis from Global Witness found that all production from new oil and gas fields, beyond those already in production or development, is incompatible with reaching the world's climate goals. Yet the oil and gas industry is set to spend $4.9 trillion with a T over the next 10 years on exploration and extraction in new fields. It's an eye-watering amount of money to spend on fossil fuels that we need to leave in the ground. And finally, today, Global News is reporting that Canada is topping the charts for poor vehicle fuel economy. A recent report by the International Energy Agency shows that Canada's vehicles have the highest average fuel consumption and carbon dioxide emissions per kilometer driven. They are also the largest and second heaviest in the world. In short, Canadian vehicles are big, heavy, and guzzle a lot of gasoline. Many point to Canada's vast land area, often connected with less than ideal roads and highways, and our cold climate as reasons for acquiring more substantial vehicles. But these arguments are not convincing. More than 80% of Canadians live in urban or suburban areas where a more modest vehicle suffices for most activities. In terms of vast distances, that actually calls for better fuel efficiency, not worse. And if cold weather is the excuse, well, Sweden, Finland, and Iceland have all managed to survive with lower emitting vehicles. However, North American vehicle manufacturers produce larger cars than their European and Asian counterparts. This in part reflects consumer preferences, but also the result of targeted and aggressive marketing campaigns to push buyers towards SUVs. And that's it for EarthGauge News this week. Hope you'll join me again next time online at earthgauge.ca, where you can download the podcast. I'm coming to you from the studios of CKCU Radio. My name is Mark. If you enjoyed this edition of EarthGauge News, your source for Canadian and international eco news.